From the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all you mothers a wonderful Mother's Day. And to all the children, let's make our mothers feel, not just today, but every day, very much loved and appreciated. That's right. Well, our study this morning comes from 1 Samuel, as we're going to study about a godly mother, Hannah. She certainly was a godly mother. And we want to look at the example that she left behind as recorded in God's Word. We want to do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And as we remember the initials PFE, that helps us to do just that, because that's the most important thing we could be doing, is it not? We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, having a proper attitude, but following the New Testament pattern as well, as we see in John 4:24. Now, we want to mention this because we're always looking forward to setting up Bible studies. If you're interested in doing that, please let us know and we'll set it up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. And your Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, are always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study of Hannah, truly a godly mother. Well, we want to express, again, our deepest gratitude this morning to all mothers that are listening and all, of course, the children who have mothers living, to let them know how much you love them, not just in words, but in action. And also those of us who no longer have our mothers living, but have wonderful memories. And we certainly cherish those memories, do we not? What would the world be like without godly mothers? Oh, I shudder to think. But again, as we go to 1 Samuel, we'll see Hannah, yes, truly was a godly mother. And she's not only worthy of our admiration, but our attention to the qualities that made her truly a godly mother. Well, you know, Hannah had been barren for a number of years in her marriage to Elkanah, and she wanted very much to be a mother. While so many today have conceived children but do not want them, how tragic is that? But starting out with 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, let's notice. Now there was a certain man of Ramathah, Imzophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city, of his city, yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept, that is Hannah, and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Well, we see here Hannah's sorrow before God. Yes, she's been mistreated for some time by Peninnah. And you can see, of course, the problem with polygamy. God tolerated this, but he never approved of it. And there was always problems coming from this terrible relationship with more than one wife. That's not the way God intended it from the beginning. But notice, this probably is why Elkanah had two wives, because Hannah was barren. And of course we need to mention this. In Israel, it was a disgrace to be without children. So we can understand Hannah's sorrow here before God. And notice Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So Hannah's sorrow led her to turn to God rather than away from God, as it does with so many people. Yes, many today blame God for their sorrow and suffering, and because of this attitude, what do? They seek refuge from the wrong source. Many turn to drugs, drinking, committing adultery, and all sorts of sinful activities. Well, again, Hannah was hurt by the cruel tongue of an arrogant Peninnah, but she did not return her cruelty and hatred, as you see there in verses 6 and 7. This is what Peninnah was doing year after year, but Hannah just took it. Notice Romans 12:17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So instead of showing sympathy to Hannah, Peninnah had grown to hate Hannah, no doubt, because it was obvious that Elkanah loved Hannah more, as we saw there in verses 5 and 8. Yes, he gave Hannah a worthy portion, and he loved her, and was more to her, he said, than 10 sons. So we can see Peninnah was envious, and you know that can lead to hate, as so often it does. Well, notice the fruits of polygamy in Elkanah's house. Yes. You see, back in those days, as we noted, polygamy was tolerated. But as you note in Matthew 19:1-9, what do we find? from the beginning it was male and female. Husband and wife become one, not two, three, and four. They become one flesh, male and female. And we all should understand that there are two genders, and that's coming from God. We better accept it, not get caught up in all this transgender mess. It's sickening what is going on in our society today, and other countries have started that too. But remember what happened when Sarah tried to help the Lord by having Abraham take her handmaiden Hagar as his wife to give birth to a child. Genesis 16:1-5. Well, yes, Ishmael was born. And you know the Arab nations descended from Ishmael. Think about that. Had Sarah only left things alone, there wouldn't be the Arab nations today. Well, let's go on in our study and pick up with verse 9. As we'll see, Hannah's supplication to God. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child, then I will give him, that is the child, unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden a daughter of Beelah, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So yes, we find Hannah praying to God. She made supplication. And she is turning to God rather than to human sources. Here's where she found true peace, verses 10 through 12. Now, note Romans 5:1, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're in Christ, we have the peace that passeth all understanding. Do we not? We certainly do. And that's being justified by faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Of course, we must know what the Scriptures teach to have true biblical faith. And of course, faith with works of righteousness, not faith alone. Now, let's note some things here. Notice that Hannah and her husband rose up early to worship God, verse 19. And by believing that God would do his part, so they did theirs, did they not? Yes, they had relations in the marriage. That's understandable there. Now, some, you know, have taught that everything you do is worship. And that's terrible. Everything we do is worship is ludicrous. When we're going to the restroom, that's not worship. When we're playing ball, that's not worship. When we're having a picnic, we can pray, of course, before we eat the food, but out in the outdoors and enjoying activities and so forth, that's not worship. But you see, they went and worshiped God in the proper way. And we need to do the same today with the five avenues that God has set forth for us to do in worshiping Him. Praying, of course, singing. That's making melody in the heart without the accompaniment of man-made instruments, isn't it? According to the scriptures, it is. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. Then we're, of course, to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, Acts 20:7. And we're to give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, as we've been prospered on every first day of the week, just like with the Lord's Supper. And then preaching the Word. Of course, preaching in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering, because there's going to be a time where people don't endure sound doctrine. What do they want? Teachers having itching ears. We don't want to have itching ears. We want to hear the truth, do we not? So let's stay with the pattern that God has given us in worship. Now, something else here. Some say that man doesn't contribute one whit to his salvation, and they teach grace only. Well, this is not what the Bible teaches. Of course not. There's a form of doctrine that we're to obey. Romans 6:17. Man is to work out his salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 2:24. So there's scripture after scripture to refute these false teachings. But something else, notice here, Eli, the priest, was hasty in his observation and misjudged Hannah. As some of the Jews charged the apostles with being drunk on the day of Pentecost, remember that? In Acts 2:13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But back here in 1 Samuel, you'll see here in chapter 1:13-14, Eli was judging improperly. Hannah was not a drinker of strong drink, as she referred to a woman drinker as a daughter of Beel. And certainly you can see that here in our study, verse 16. And notice chapter 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Beel. They knew not the Lord. So Hannah was not in that situation at all. In Deuteronomy 13:13, notice, certain men, the children of Beel, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, little g, which ye have not known. 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord hath Christ with Beel, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Well, here in Acts 26, we have another example of a high official making a hasty observation, as we go to verse 24 of Acts 26. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, that is Paul, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And we need to be of course, preaching and teaching the truth, because we have the truth. The evidence is there, and we need not be ashamed of the gospel, but proclaim it and teach it boldly, but in love as well. But again, we need to be careful and not misjudge others by hasty observations. We're to judge righteously, though, John 7:24. But let's go on and notice now in our study of Hannah, truly a godly woman, notice her sacrifice to God as we pick back up here with verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, that would be grape juice, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Now this, of course, would be Samuel. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. You see, Hannah had great difficulty, no doubt, to give up her son, but she kept her vow to God. Remember what she had said. She kept her word. Now, Samuel means ask of God. And you see how this child, now that he's been weaned, he was dedicated and left with Eli the priest to serve the Lord in the tabernacle at Shiloh. Well, here's again Hannah's sacrifice to God. What are we willing to give up for the betterment of the Lord's kingdom? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We're going to have to make a choice, are we not? Matthew 6:24. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. So, where is my priorities? And you need to ask yourself the same question. Are we putting God first and his kingdom? Well, no man can serve two masters. Remember that. We need to be making a living sacrifice. Hannah's a good example for us. Truly a godly mother. Yes, sir. Are we keeping our vows that we make before God when we get married? Until death do us depart. For better or worse, sickness and health. You know, whatever the situation, in other words, we need to keep our vows. But how many people today have forgotten that they made vows before getting married? Yes, before God. That's right. Now God has made the ultimate sacrifice for our sins in order for our forgiveness to be made possible. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Have we responded to God's love toward us? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. But notice Hannah's song here to God, verses 1 through 10. You'll want to study this. Yes, Hannah was truly thankful to God for answering her prayer. And she was not forgetful to give thanks, as were the 9 lepers that were healed by Jesus, Luke 17:12-19. You know, our prayers, if we're faithful in the Lord's church, should be filled with thanksgiving daily because of God's goodness and mercy shown to us. Philippians 4:6, for example, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, Colossians 2:7. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, 4:2 in Colossians. Notice Hannah's song, as you study it, is comparable with the song of Mary in Luke 1:46 through 55. I wish we had the time to read that, but you'll want to do that later. And we should appreciate that 1 Samuel 2:10 is messianic prophecy. Notice, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth and shall give strength unto his king, exalt the horn of his anointed." Yes, sir. This is Hannah's song to God. And she is giving a prophecy of Christ. As you can see, the adversaries of the Lord are going to be broken to pieces. "Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them." Well, certainly that's going to take place when the Lord comes again to judge the world in righteousness. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21:8 are to get our attention. "The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth." John 5:22. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Verse 27. And of course, Acts 17:31, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." Now, "he shall give strength unto his king." 1 Timothy 6:15, "which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." The potentates here on this earth are not understanding this verse. Jesus is the only potentate. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. "And exalt the horn." Notice the horn means power, secular or spiritual. Luke 1:68 and 69. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Of his anointed." Back to the song of Hannah. This is the first use of the Lord's anointed, since there was no king at this time. It's referring to Christ. Look at Psalms 2:2, Acts 4:27, Acts 10:38. Our time is running out, but I wanted to close with this. What was the results of Hannah's faithfulness to God? She was blessed with a son, Samuel, who became a godly priest, a great prophet of God to Israel, and an inspired writer of several books of the Old Testament. And she was blessed with more children, of course, as you see in 1 Samuel 2:21. We need more mothers like Hannah. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ, and we thank you so much for listening today.